tonight and turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. We wrapped up our series of messages out of the book of Leviticus. And between now and the first of the year, I'm just going to preach some selective messages to you before we begin another book study. And I'm praying about the book of either Song of Solomon or Daniel. And you pray with me. I've done some work in both of those books, and we'll see how the Lord would guide us, all right? I enjoy studying books together. We won't go in some of these larger books. I'm also doing a little study in Isaiah. We would kind of just top the trees a little bit, not go verse by verse as we have in the book of Philippians in our Sunday morning studies. Tonight I want to talk to you about a little subject that's familiar to us, and we all struggle with it. It's about the two natures. If you're saved, you have two natures. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion about the two natures, though it may not be in that wording. There's people who talk about, you know, well, as a Christian, so-and-so, they think they're perfect. Well, I don't know anyone that thinks they're perfect. Maybe their actions would lead you to think that. I don't know. But I think we all realize that there is no one perfect. I mean, Jesus was certainly perfect. But I mean, as far as humanly speaking, none of us are perfect. Now, I don't say that to minimize that God expects us to live clean, holy lives. And so, you know, we have to find a balance. I think sometimes people on one side just say, we're saved by grace and we're not perfect. And so they just kind of make an excuse to live a carnal, sinful life, and to do things and just think, what do you expect? I'm a sinner. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. That's a loose way to live. And God is not pleased with that. God saves us to live holy, righteous lives, to be a testimony of His grace. But then there's the other side of people who say, I don't ever sin. And maybe you've met those people who truly believe this. I mean, some of you are smiling, but there are people who really believe this, that when they got saved, that their flesh, their Adamic nature, the nature they were born with, the fallen nature that we inherit from Adam, that it was eradicated, that it was destroyed. And so because of that, and they have a new nature, then they do not sin. And they call them mistakes. I've spoken to these people, and it's really hard not to laugh when they talk. I mean, I don't do it to be offensive. It's just difficult. You know, I'm just smiling to keep from breaking out in a laugh as they're telling me this foolishness. Because the thing that I want to ask them is, I would like to talk with your spouse for about 5 minutes, and then I could probably, just in speaking with your spouse, discredit what you're trying to tell me about how good you are. Because the old man, and by that I don't mean that person you've been married to for 30 years, lady. Okay? Amen. The old man just pops his old ugly head up from time to time. Yeah. It just happens. And, you know, you say, preacher, I love gospel music. I just love those old hymns of the faith. Well, you know, I do too. But there's also that old man that loves that music I used to listen to before I got saved. And every now and then, he wants to listen to that stuff again. And when I walk into a Walmart or a department store and it's playing, if I'm not careful, the old man's saying, boy, tap your toe to that again. Oh, I don't ever do that, preacher. Yeah, I know. You're just as spiritual. I need to introduce you to some of them folks I was talking about earlier. And it just goes on and on, right? I mean, we understand that we have an Adamic nature. And then when we get saved, the Bible teaches that we have a divine nature. That's 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay, so now we have two natures. And, well, there's this lusting, Paul said, going on, where the flesh lusteth, Galatians 5, against the spirit, and the spirit lusteth against the flesh. And he said these two are contrary one to the other. And if you're saved and been saved for any length of time, you're on the same page I am. You're saying, yeah, I understand that. I know right where you are, preacher. I have those struggles. All right? So here, the Apostle Paul begins to address that very thing in Ephesians chapter number 4. And we're just going to kind of pick up in verse number 17. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail on some of these scripture until we get to the point where I believe God would have me to go. And I'm not going to finish the message tonight. I'm going to give you some a little bit of foundational truth, and then we'll build on it in the next week or so, next week or two. Okay, so let's look at this. So to give you a little background, Paul in chapter number 4 in verse number 17, 18, and 19, he begins to talk about, hey, remember when you were lost. And he begins to talk about the disaster that it is to be lost. And here's what he said. He said, notice some of the things that he says about what it means to be lost. And, you know, we realize these things, but sometimes we just need to be reminded of what it really, truly means to be lost without God. Notice the wording here, the Apostle Paul, in verses 17, 18, and 19. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as of the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And verse number 18, the first part of it there says, having the understanding darkened. So he said, you know, this is what it means to be lost. It's a mental darkness. Look what he said there. He said that you henceforth not walk as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. They just don't see it. Remember when you were there? You just didn't see it. People were trying to tell you about Jesus. They were trying to tell us about God. They were trying to tell us about our need. And we were just, our understanding was darkened. We just didn't see it. And Paul said, listen, he said, I thank God that we're not that way anymore. And I want to say amen, Paul. I thank God that God has turned a light on in my soul, that I'm not here anymore. Now, I don't say that looking down at sinners. I say that because that ought to, that ought to motivate us and propel us out into this world to tell people about Jesus. And so he said, don't you forget what it is to be lost. He said, your mind, there's a mental darkness. Then he said there is an emotional hardness. Look at what he said here in verse number 18. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. An emotional. It's an emotional hardness. You're alienated. You don't think about life the way God intended life to be thought of. It's just like an emotional blank. Remember when you were there? No purpose, no aim, and everything was about you. Everything had to evolve around you. Can I tell you, the middle letter in sin is I, the middle letter in pride is I. It's just, before we get saved, life becomes about us. And when you find yourself getting back there, you know that you're headed in the wrong direction. But I got to make life about me again. That's not, the Bible nowhere teaches that. The Bible says you make life about Jesus and you make life about others. Is that what the Bible says? That's what spirit-filled Christians do. Carnal Christians that are listening to the devil's voice will make it about you again. It's all about me. Yeah, that's what Lucifer did. That's how sin was introduced. And so he said emotionally, look at verse number 18, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. So he said, first of all, there's a mental darkness. And then he said there's an emotional hardness. In verse number 19, he talks about a moral deadness. Look at verse number 19. Who being past feeling. Wow. What a statement. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Now what a word. That word simply means an unbridled lust. So he said, as far as morally, it's just debt, anything goes. And so he said in verse number 19, who being past feeling, nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. But it feels right, then it is right. Well, that's not what the Word of God says. Well, it just feels right, preacher. Well, just because it feels right doesn't mean it is right. And so he said in verse number 19, he said, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And then finally, so he goes from a mental darkness to an emotional hardness to a moral deadness. And here is the greatest deficit of all, a spiritual blindness. Now, all of these things were a part of what we were before we got saved. And sometimes we forget. We forget this is the condition of lost men. This is the condition that God found us in. And so he says here in verse number 18, look at the latter part of verse number 18, because of the blindness of their heart. A spiritual blindness. So here is probably one of the most exhaustive definitions of what it means to be lost in all the Bible. And he's just summed up the entire being of a lost person, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and then morally. Look what he said in verse number 20. But you have not so learned Christ. Amen? You have not learned that, okay, I'm going to continue to be this even after Christ. He said, that's not what you've learned. You have experienced the new birth. You've experienced all that comes with what's called regeneration. And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about, regeneration. Then we'll talk a little bit about restoration, the regeneration of the heart, and the restoration of the mind. Let's talk about that. So I'm right here in this section. All right? So he said, you have not so learned Christ. Look at verse 21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And so he said, when you got saved, you've heard, you've learned, you've grown, you've experienced that. Now that you're saved, you don't have to live this way. You don't have to live this way. And I think every person in here has said, yes, I did experience that. Now, I want to remind you, when you got saved, this happens to every person who gets saved. When we get saved, at first, we have a similar feeling, a similar thought process like this. I'm saved, that means that I'm not going to do this anymore, and I'm not going to do this anymore, and I'm not going to say this anymore, and I'm not going to go here anymore, right? Until you think what you said you would never think anymore. And then you say, hey, I didn't think as a Christian I was going to think that anymore. Right? Now, come on now. Is that right? You say, well, I'm saved. And then you have that thought again. You say, oh, do Christians have those thoughts? Right? And then you might say something, and you think, ooh, where did that come from? And then there may be a attitude or an action that you take, and you thought, whoa, and you get a little confused as a young Christian. Wait a minute, I thought that now that I'm saved, I'm not going to do that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. See, that's the difference right there. See, I don't want to do that anymore. I feel guilty. I feel dirty. I don't want to say that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to go there anymore. And yet, there's a realization there's something going on here. What's wrong with me? Because when we first start going to church and we meet these Christian people, we look up and we see the preacher, and you know, my first thoughts of a preacher was, that man is perfect. Maybe you had that thought of me until you got to know me. Amen. I remember the first preacher I really got to know was our pastor, and I thought, that guy's perfect. Yeah. You know, you just think that about people. I remember looking at Sharon and I, when we got saved, we went to a church that had like 2,400 people in Sunday school. And I remember looking around all these people and I thought, all these, every one of them's better than I am. I'm just a nothing. I'm just scraped up trash and brought in here. These people are something else. I'm nothing. And then I began to do and think some of the things I thought, and I thought, these people probably never think like that or say that or do that. Man, I really struggled till I began to learn and grow, not about their faults and their downside. I began to learn about the two natures that I had. And I began to hear teaching, and I began to hear preaching, and I began to read my Bible and realize, okay, that's it. That's it. That's why. Then I learned that, hey, I've got a role in this. And I don't want to, I want to have these experiences as little as possible, right? I don't want to keep, you know, I want to fight this thing. I don't want to be a servant to sin anymore, right, brethren? Hey, when you're saved, you don't want to be a servant to sin anymore. You don't even want to sin anymore, but you know what, you're going to, but you don't want to be a servant to it, right? So, then you get to verse 22. And here's what he said. He said, all right, before you got saved, verse 17, 18, 19, this is what you were. Verse 20, 21, he said, well, now this is what you have learned and you've grown and you've realized, okay, it can be different. And he said, now here's a key. He said, you've got to, in verse number 22, you got to put off. And in verse number 24, you've got to put on. Now let's talk about that a little bit. There's some words and there's some phrases that we're going to open up, and so we're going to give some definition and try to bring some meaning to what's being said here. All right, so here we go. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, Paul said, listen, you're going to have to learn to just set these things aside. They're part of who you are, and that's not going to change. Amen. You're not getting, listen, you're not going to get to just have that annihilated and taken away. You've got to work on this. Now, there's two things you need to understand about what Paul's saying here. I want you to look really careful what he said in verse number 22, that ye put off. You have a responsibility. All right? Now, three times in the Bible, this is very important, so don't you miss this. Three times in the Bible, you have this phrase, the old man. Now, I realize today that that means something totally different. A lot of these words do, and we're going to talk about it a little bit. The old man, you know, you hear maybe some teenagers, they think they're cool, yeah. The old man, he's not cool, he's not hip, man. That's not what Paul's talking about. And he's certainly not talking about your husband that you've been married to. He's talking about your old Adamic nature. That Adamic nature that fell under the curse of sin that you inherited at the time of your birth. That sinful nature. That's the old man. It's mentioned here, and then I want you to hold your place here and turn to Colossians chapter 3, which is just a few pages over. Colossians chapter 3, he mentions it again in what's called a parallel section of Scripture. There's some parallels in Ephesians and Colossians. And in Colossians, he takes it from the practical to the positional. You say, now, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that there's, positionally speaking, I'm dead. I'm in Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. Amen. Now listen to me. Positionally, I have been crucified with Christ. But the same Paul that said that in Galatians 2 said in 1 Corinthians 9, I die daily. How do you die when you've already been crucified? Because positionally, I'm dead in Christ. But practically, I have to just keep reminding myself and dying to the old me, because the old me keeps trying to resurrect himself. Right? As a matter of fact, a couple of times a day, the old me popped out of the grave. Huh? The old you? Did the old you pop up out of the grave any today? Listen to me. This is real. Until you get this, you're never going to fully understand why some things that are going on in your life are going on. When we get this concept, when we get this truth, this teaching down, it'll really begin to teach us why we're going through some of the things we're going through and experiencing some of the things. And then we can equip ourselves to fight a better fight. And so he said, put ye, you do it in Ephesians. Now look at Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse number 9. He said, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man. He's not saying to do it. He said, it's been done. So in a sense, it's done, but we're to keep doing it. In a sense, we're dead, but we have to keep killing the flesh. You see that there in verse number 9? Put off the old man. Underline that. That's the second time of three times that this phrase is used in the Bible, and every time there's a great truth to learn from it. So we learn that there's a position that we have, and that is we're crucified with Christ. We're dead in Christ. We're hid. And then we are to die daily. We have to crucify it. We have to just keep killing ourselves. I die daily. We have to just keep that man buried, because he keeps wanting to come back to life. He keeps wanting to pop up his ugly head and run my life. He keeps wanting to do the things that I grew to enjoy as a sinner. He wants to rule my life. Who's ruling your life? The old you or the new you? Who's ruling your life? That's not hard to figure out. Now, it's much harder to allow the new you to rule and to run your life than it is to determine who's doing it. It's not hard to determine who is really ruling your life, as we'll see here in just a moment. So he said here in verse number 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Well, you know, preacher, it doesn't matter what you do. Paul said, yeah, that it does too. The deeds count. Then he said in verse number 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. All right? Now, finally, we'll go to Romans chapter 6, and then we'll go back to Ephesians and close. But I want you to turn to Romans 6, because it's mentioned again, okay, this old man. And here's what we need to learn, all right? We need to learn that we're to kill the flesh, to mortify the flesh. We're to die to self. And anything that tells you any different is of the devil. Anything that tells you, you know, you just go get it now. You take charge. You do. That, listen, it's about Christ. You're a Christian now. It's not about you. When life becomes about you, you're way away from God. Life is to be about Jesus. And so here's what Paul said. Listen, this is to Christians. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse number 6. Knowing this, Romans 6, verse 6. Knowing this, and here's our phrase, that our old man, there's that phrase again, old man. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, now watch this now, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You ever heard the story about the two little boys? Remember when you was a little boy, and maybe some of you gals did it too, when you was a little boy, you played cops and robbers. Now you can't do that because, you know, gun safety. Plastic guns. You played cops and robbers, pow, 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 and you shot somebody, and it took them forever to die. You know, the old Westerns, if you've ever watched an old Western, somebody get shot, and honest to goodness, it'd take them 30 minutes to die. Just die already, all right? I mean, how many times you got to be shot? But you know what I'm talking about, right? And so you know, you kind of emulate, pow, 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 and you shoot somebody, and they just, and you walk, you know, are you dead yet? So I heard the story of a little boy walked over. He shot a little guy, and, you know, pow, pow, and he walked over, and the guy was just, you know, like I do on the movies. And he said, hey, are you dead yet? And he said, yeah. And he said, well, then act like it. You know, sometimes I have to do that with myself. Hey, listen, if you're dead, act like it. If you're crucified with Christ, act like it. Amen. Quit letting your flesh take over. Right? If you're dead, you're dead. You know, dead people don't get offended. I've never walked up to a casket and said, my man, they didn't do a very good job. And he'd wake up and say, hey, you offended me. Boy, hey. Paul said, we're to die. Now watch this last statement here in Romans 6, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I'm glad that word serve is there. And it doesn't say that henceforth we should not sin. Whoa, would that change everything? But he said serve it. So let me tell you what's happened. And I'm going to tell you through an illustration. Okay? So you're in a war. All right? And you're in a field, and all of a sudden you hear something, and you look up, and the enemy's got his gun right on you. All right? Who's in control? Who's in control? You better believe the guy with the gun's in control. But then, miraculously, and this is what happens when you get saved. Now, I want you to listen to me. Miraculously, something happens to where either he stumbles or something, and he loses control, and the gun's up, and you have the gun, and now you've got it on him. Now who has control? See, when you get saved, God gives you control. Before you got saved, you didn't have control. You didn't have control. The enemy had control. But now you have control. You don't have to serve sin. You don't have to. You may choose to, but that's your choice. Amen. You don't have to serve sin. So through the miracle of regeneration, God has put us in control again. We lost it, but God has given us that control to where now when I sin not because I have to, but because I want to. I choose to. You know how much I sin today? As much as I chose to. You too. And so while we could try to have this martyr's complex and this victimology, you know, where, well, you know, I just couldn't help it. You ever heard somebody, and I mean, they just go off and just use all kinds of profanity and vulgar and vile language. Shame on them. Amen. Shame on them. And then they claim to be a Christian. Well, I just couldn't help it, preacher. Sure you could. Sure you could. The enemy doesn't have the gun anymore. You do. You do. Just confess it as sin. Don't say, you know, somebody flare up and have a big temper tantrum and then punch, you know, their fist through the wall. Well, I just couldn't help it. Well, sure you could. Sure you could. You're using the wrong word. It's not I couldn't help it. It's just I wouldn't help it. Amen. So let's go back to Ephesians now, and we'll draw some practical lessons about these two natures. So the old man, we still have. We get saved, and now we have a divine nature. And now there's this struggle. There's this struggle. And so in order for us to overcome, we've got to understand some things. And Paul in Ephesians, are you there in Ephesians chapter 4? Notice what he said here. That you put off concerning the former conversation. You see that word conversation? Lifestyle. Manner of life. Manner of living. That's what that word means. So he said, put off that old former lifestyle, that way you lived, that old man, which is corrupt, and it's according to deceitful lust. The devil always make you think, well, it's all right. You know, it's all right. Just one little sin, one look, right? One look. Just one time. Who'll know? What does it matter? So the devil has all of these things, right, that he'll say. But God says it's sin. And it doesn't matter if the preacher says it's okay. It doesn't matter if the Pope says it's okay. It doesn't matter if you say it's okay. If God says it's not okay. And so he said here, you need to put that off. And there's just some things that Christians ought not to do. Hey, can I ask you something? What's the difference between you now and you then? There ought to be a lot of things come to mind. If there's not, something's not right. Something's not right. You see, Christians are change people. When we get saved, we get changed. And listen, some people change quicker, but all Christians change. Right? All Christians change. They live differently. So he said, you've got to work on that. You've got to put some things off. Here's what you've got to put off. That former lifestyle, you got to put that off. That's what he said. That you put off concerning the former conversation. That's your lifestyle. That's the way you live. You put that off. That old man, that old you. And he said, it's corrupt. By the way, it is. It's degrading. It's degenerating. It's decomposing now, as we'll see here. And he said, according to the deceitful lust. The devil always tell you there's something in it good for you, right? Right? Years ago, Dr. John R. Rice used to have a message, all Satan's apples have worms. You know, ain't that the truth? You know, it makes it look all red and shiny and delicious. And boy, I tell you, it's rotten to the core when the devil's involved. And then he said in verse 24 that you put on the new man. All right? In other words, let the new man, that new nature, that divine nature, you've got to let that be what helps you make the decisions, which guides your life, which guides your thinking process and the way you live. It's there. It's up to you to allow him to live through you this new life. Now notice what he said that it's after. This is very interesting. I want you to notice the way that the Holy Spirit of God did this. Look at verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which didn't say by God is created, though it is by God. Right? John 1, verse 13 says that we're born again. Listen, he said, not of blood. That means, you know, your family's not going to get you there. All right? Right? Not by the will of the flesh, not by the will of man, but by God. That's how you're born again, right? Is that what the Bible teaches? Absolutely. And that's how we get that divine nature. But notice the way the Spirit of God was very careful to say here that the new man, which by God is created, didn't say that. It said which after God. Which means in His likeness, in His image. See, initially, we were created in the image of God and in His likeness, but Adam lost that. And now in Christ, who is God in the flesh, we are now, as we get this new man, being conformed unto His image. That's why, listen, every day God is conforming us. There ought to be every day this conforming process taking place in our lives where we are becoming more like Christ. Right? So by God would have been complete, but we're not complete. After God, process. We are created, in verse number 24, in righteousness and true holiness. Righteousness, man. Did you know when you get saved, God will teach you how to live with others and get along with people? Isn't that amazing? How that God gives us the ability to get along with people. It's just up to you if you want to do it. People who do not get along with people are not right with God. Man, I could spend 30 minutes going through all the details, but it's just that simple. When I don't get along with people, I'm not right with God. If I'm always in a, listen, in a dispute and always in a confrontation and always got drama and things going on, I'm not right with God. I may not want to admit that, but it's so. You find someone that's always confrontation after confrontation, drama after drama, always got something going on, and it's all, the thing about it that I've noticed, it's always everyone else's fault. Have you noticed that? I tell you, preacher, I don't know what's wrong with them. It's kind of like me driving down 29. I don't know what's wrong with them. I want to take everybody's license. Amen. They all need to just forfeit their driving rights. Right? And that's the way we feel sometimes. You know why? Because it's us. We do not know how to get along with other people. But when you get saved, God right here gives you a new man, which after God is creating righteousness, right doing, right acting, will help you get along with others. Even when you don't agree with them. The Bible says, agree with thine adversary quickly. Did Jesus teach that? Do good with them who despitefully use you. Pray for them. Is that what the Bible teaches? Love your enemies. The Bible teaches this. God gives us the capacity to do that in the new man. But the old man says, well, I told them, yeah, didn't you? I showed them. Yeah, that's that old man. That's that dead head popping up out of the grave again. Amen. See, when we start getting that attitude, we know, okay, we're moving now toward the old man, not the new man. Then he said this, not only is he created in verse 24 in righteousness, but true holiness. That's Godward. That's upward. We have the capacity now to get along with God. You know, before you get saved, you don't get along with God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says you're an enemy of God. Does the Bible say that in James chapter 4? We're enemies of God before we get saved. And we're friends with this old world. But when you get saved, it all reverses. Doesn't it? Look, if you would, in verse 23. This is how it's going to happen. How do we get out of verse 22 into verse 24? You ready? Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There it is. There's got to be a renewing. It's got to be a whole... Listen, God has to renew our minds. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. God changes the way you think. I'm glad God has changed the way I think. Now, I've got a long way to go, and I mean that when I say it. Sometimes I get just a foul spirit. I'm glad Gene and Sharon didn't say amen right there. But if they wanted to and felt like it, they could. And sometimes you get a foul spirit. And sometimes that old man, the old Dale Freeman, just shines through, just pops his head up out of the grave and says and does some things, and it's just not becoming, brethren. It's just not becoming. And I can try to excuse it and make an excuse and say, well, that's just the way I am. Come on, accept some responsibility. Mature. That's the way little children handle things. We're grown up in Christ. We're maturing in Christ. We should accept some responsibility and show some accountability to say, you know what? I can and should do better. I expect better of that out of me because God expects better in that of me. Amen? So what about this renewing process? I'm going to close here. We'll pick up next week. Notice what he said. He said, I'm going to teach you how to do it. There's got to be a renewing now. It's not going to happen without a renewing. And you know, the outward body. Now, I was saying this to our men in the prayer group, and we've got some folks in here, Sister Tammy, Sister Putnam, and maybe some others who could do far better than me, though I'm not going to ask them to come up here and do it. Though Sister Putnam would come up here and preach. No. I give Sister Putnam a hard time about that. She wouldn't do that. But I've heard great teacher, and I've heard it from people who I know that they know what they're saying. And so I appreciate good women teachers. I do. But we don't believe in women preachers because God doesn't teach it. So don't be listening to Joyce Meyer. She'll lead you astray. Amen. Amen. And so will old Smiley's wife. What's her name? What's old Smiley? What's his name? Osteen. What's her name? What's her name? Mrs. Osteen. Okay. Wow. Wow. Now that old man, that his head's wanting to pop up right now, but I'm putting him back down, Sister Tammy. Yeah, I know. That's right. Tammy said, I don't watch her. I don't watch her, so how should I know? Good answer. Good answer. Good answer. Amen. All right. So here we go. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Did you know in your body, every day, multitudes of cells die? And we have to replenish them, okay? The Bible says that the outward man perisheth. But the inward man, the new man, is renewed day by day. All right? This old body, and we were in there, you know, some of us older guys in there talking about our aches and pains, and, you know, when we sit down, it sounds like, I don't know, a ratchet. Our knees, you know. And it just, well, it just happens to us, doesn't it? It just happens. It does. And it's happening. But thank God the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul said, I want to tell you how you can renew your mind. I want to tell you how you can live more in the new man and keep that old man where he belongs, in the grave. He said, I'm going to tell you how to do it. He said, you've got to put some things away. Verse 22, put off. Look at verse 25. Wherefore, putting away. Look at verse number 31. Look right in the middle. Be put away from you. See that in verse 31? Paul says, you know, now if you're going to live the victorious Christian life, and I want you to listen to me very carefully, brethren. If we are going to live the victorious Christian life, we're just going to have to make some changes. And we're just going to have live a different lifestyle, and we're going to put some things away that keep trying to find its way back in our lives. And so he addresses some things here that said, this is important. You're going to have to put some things away. And you may have to put them away again. And then again. Because they're going to keep trying to come back. They're going to keep trying to come back. And then he said, I'm going to teach you what you ought to do in verse 32. He said, you just need to learn what it is to think about others and how to treat others. And verse number 30, remember that your life is to please God and not to grieve God. So he said, here's how you do it right here. This is how you do it. And so we'll talk about that in the weeks to come. We have an old man. Yes, I wish I could shoot him and he would die and stay dead. I wish that were possible. But in this life, it's not. The old Dale Freeman is going to keep trying to come up. And you're just going to have to take my word on this. You don't want much to do with the old Dale Freeman. But before you get too big-headed, I don't want a whole lot to do with the old you either. Because the old us is just rotten to the core. You know a word that Paul used to sum it up? Corrupt. Look at it again sometime in verse 22. He said, which is corrupt. Just corrupt. The old us, corrupt. Corrupt. The new us, created in righteousness and true holiness. The new nature that God has given us. That can be what really defines our lives. You know, that brother, he's a righteous guy. He's a good man. She's a good lady. They're an upstanding person. Right? God makes us this. We don't say that to blow somebody up or make them something, but we say it because it gives glory to God. The chief purpose of man is to glorify God. This ought to be the driving force in my life and in yours. I just want God to receive glory from my life. The only way I'm going to be able to do that is to live in the new man. And you too. All right? Who's in control? the man holding the gun. Don't you forget that. And the Spirit of God has given it to you now. You do not have to serve sin. Let's stand. This old nature won't stay dead.